The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more.
What's up, bro?
Then a producer.
You sent me down a rabbit hole again this morning.
I did?
Look, I got here on time.
Oh, the Las Vegas aliens thing?
Yeah.
From last year?
Yeah.
Oh, the expert says it's real.
You are going to turn me into a crazy person with this stuff.
Oh, now it's my fault.
Yeah, I'm going to blame it on you.
Your insanity came from me.
That's right, yes. When they lock me up in an asylum one day.
I'm just saying, if I saw a 9-foot alien in my backyard, I'd be screaming about
that
it.
That video was incredible, man. Yeah. There's something there. I don't know what it was, but there's something.
Later on the show, we don't dive into this later, but we're just obsessed with this story. Okay, on the show, Drew Dinsick will join us. We'll talk NBA playoffs and French Open with him. The French Open, by the way, let me just start there real quick. Rain, as I said yesterday on the show, there's going to be rain in some variety all week until Friday in Paris. It's almost as if you shouldn't schedule tennis's second major for rainy season in Paris. But they do.
I mean, everybody knows it's rainy season. That's for sure. We didn't just learn that yesterday.
No, not at all. We didn't get informed of that yesterday at all. So my three plays are, I believe they're about to start. I don't know. Maybe they won't start till later. But if they are about to start and you are not on VSiN.com/picks, first of all, shame on you. You should be a subscriber. Every host, every guest, every sport, all our picks are there. I have three. They have yet to start. Kelly, I'll start with the sexiest of them all. Do you want the sexiest of them all?
Sexy.
I have a +416 dog. Does that interest you at all?
Yeah, it does. It does interest me.
Kristina Mladenovic, who has really good clay court numbers, going up against Petra Martic. Martic, obviously, the better player career-wise, but is not really has been more idle than anything else on this surface. Hasn't really gotten her reps in. And her numbers, quite frankly, aren't as good. People, part of the market price here has to do with Martic's 7-2 head-to-head dominance over Mladenovic. I'm not buying it. I took the +416. You can get it right around $4 right now. I'd play it. That is about to start. At least it seems so on the schedule. Nuno Borges on the men's side. I have him as a slight dog, and he is still that slight dog, only a few pennies off from the price I got him at.
Looks like that one has just started.
Nuno Borges just started.
+135 live, though, if you want to get it. Literally, they haven't completed a game.
Yeah, that just started. Okay, so that started. That's why it's not on the board. Okay, that's underway. And then a little later on, we do have a favorite, Anna Karolina Schmidlova. You know her, Kelly, don't you? Anna Karolina Schmidlova?
Sure, yeah.
She is playing later on. She is -132, so right around the price I got her at, because I think I got her -131, so only a penny off against Sarah Errani. So it is Mladenovic, Borges just started, and Schmidlova. Mladenovic and Schmidlova on the ladies' side at the French Open. All right, NBA last night. By the way, in addition to Drew Dinsick, later on the show, we will have Matt Grissom. College baseball super regionals were determined yesterday. He's got all kinds of picks. This is actually the part he likes the best, not just picking a winner of the College World Series, but he loves picking regional winners. So we'll talk to Matt Grissom later, and then Paul Spohr on Major League Baseball. NBA last night, the Celtics are on their way to the NBA Finals after sweeping the Indiana Pacers. Four games in which it is very okay for you to say, Pacers probably should have won three of them. It's just true. And that's why when I walked in here into the casino, the lovely D here in downtown Las Vegas, you know, they got screens up everywhere because of the content. Mike Palm has made content management a big part of the deal here. So ESPN is on everywhere. And Greeny, Mike Greenberg, has his five most dominant championship runs ever. Is that what he called it?
I believe.
No. Greeny's top five most dominant runs, yes, to the NBA Finals.
To the NBA Finals.
All right. Yeah. Now, we brought this up last week, and I brought up those 2017 Warriors. Remember where South Point put up a prop, will they go 16-0? They went 14-0 before they lost one, and then they went 15-1. The 96 Bulls of Jordan, 2001 Lakers of Shaq and Kobe. Those were his top three. His fifth was the 83 Sixers, the faux Sixers of Moses Malone. He has the Celtics of this year at four. Stop it. Yes, I get it. They only lost two games. But they've hit the royal flush of injuries. Can we not do this? They're just filling airtime. Is that what they're doing over there?
Yeah.
By putting that in there?
I don't know how you do that. Okay. I actually don't even know how you put that Didn't the Sixers team, that Sixers team, don't you play one last round at that point, too?
I believe you do.
I don't even know how you can kind of compare those. I'm not saying it's not an all-time great team, but, like, if you're taking away four more wins or something from this conversation.
Yeah, I think you played one less. I think you did play one less round there.
I think I heard them say that this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, you did, because, like, 78 Bullets did as well. That's right.
So, yeah, we talked a little bit about it last week, and there's a lot of these great runs, but it's...
This is... Listen, I think the question we'll ask here is, it's not the Celtics' fault that they ended up playing teams that, in order, Jimmy Butler wasn't with the Heat, Donovan Mitchell played sparsely for the Cavaliers. Obviously here, Tyrese Halliburton didn't go in games 3 and 4. Let me just do the real quick, and I'm going to do it the pace that it presented itself on screen last night. When the Pacers, by the way, the Pacers were up late in this game, for those who missed it. They were up 98-90 late in this game, but at 102-98 Pacers, here's how the rest of this went. Tatum 2, 102-100 Pacers. Nesmith misses a 3. Horford rebounds. Jaylen Brown ties at 102-102. McConnell misses. Tatum rebounds. McConnell steals from Tatum. Brown steals from Siakam. White misses a 3. Tatum offensive rebound. Tatum misses a 3. Nesmith rebound. Tatum steals from Nembhard. It's just the Pacers were playing at a pace where it was like, you guys think you're down 5 points? Like, yeah. You were ahead and you're tied. Stop. Tatum steals from Nembhard. Brown misses layup. Siakam rebounds. Indiana timeout. 1 minute left because Rick Carlisle's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Stop. Everybody stop. Take a breather. Tie game. 1 minute left. Then Nembhard layup. His layup was blocked by Brown. Horford rebound. That's when Derek White hit the 3 to make it 105-102. Nembhard misses a 3. Tatum rebound. Foul on Nesmith. Boston side out. Tatum arm bars the defender. Misses a 3. Holiday offensive rebound. Keep away ball game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was with the final 333. They didn't score a point. Pacers didn't score a point.
It's Indiana's comedy of errors down the stretch is just missed shots, getting the ball stolen, getting the ball blocked. Like, one thing after another. By the way, can we talk about that arm bar for a second?
I mean, sure. He does it all the time. He did get called for it, I think, once or twice.
Once. On his fifth foul, he got called for it. And then he complained. He immediately goes like this. He's like, oh, you got to review that. No, you armbarred him.
One of the easier calls, like, to make in the NBA, because you get that extension. As soon as there's the extension.
It's easy to make. That last shot was an even more blatant armbar. No call. And this calls to mind something. I went the other night. We're on Monday through Friday, so we don't get to talk the night after games every time. But when Luka hit the 3 over Gobert in game 2, I texted Felika and Will, and I said, you know he traveled, right? And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, just look at the replay. Yeah, he takes 3 steps.
Yeah, that's one of the funny – I heard it's the gather step argument.
So in today's day and age of NBA play, no one ever calls
right,
that.
Right, correct.
Because Will's correct response was, oh, Harden takes 4 steps and they don't call it, right? But between that and the arm bar, keep in mind you have a Celtics team that's swept and you have a Mavericks team that's up 3-0. We'll talk about the Mavericks and the T-Wolves game 4 coming up. But what it calls to mind is that there was a day and age. I'm old enough to remember when David Stern was the commissioner of this league, right? There was a day and age when every NBA handicapper was saying all of this was fixed to extend series. And this ain't that anymore. Because if this was that, Luka would have been called for a travel, and Jason Tatum would have been called for the arm bar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of happened in the NFL, too, where we have all these reviewable plays now, which leads you to changing rules, which now rules are harder to enforce sometimes, and now there's new rules. I mean, like, the take foul stuff the other night, like that, I mean, that was almost disastrous. What was that, game 3, right, where there was the take foul at the end? I would have called it a take foul all season long. You can't in that moment, though. And so much of NBA officiating comes down to that, right, where it's, oh, cool, okay, you could have called this whole game, but you can't do it now. You can't do it with 30 seconds left.
So we talked about this yesterday, Memorial Day, so I'm not sure if you were on board with the show yesterday, but now, after last night, 155 occurrences in the history of the NBA where a team led 3-0. 0-155 in terms of the team down 3-0 coming back and winning the series. Of those 155 occurrences where a team is down 3-0, only 4 times out of those 155 has a team come back to force a game 7. The Celtics against the Heat last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then they got crushed in game 7. So that is what the T-Wolves are up against. And I get back to the Celtics. They are not to be blamed for who was presented in front of them. They are not to be blamed for the other team's injuries. Right now, hypothetical pricing, they are minus 225 against the Mavericks. The Mavericks are plus 185 on the comeback. And if the T-Wolves somehow were to buck that history, they are also an exact minus 225 against the T-Wolves with the T-Wolves plus 185 on the comeback. That at DraftKings. Is everybody on earth, let's assume it's the Mavericks because it's 0-155. You know what they say about assuming, and I made a case for the T-Wolves yesterday because games 5 and 7 are at home for Minnesota. So if they were able to steal tonight, it's at least an easier path than it would be if they didn't have games 5 and 7 at home.
I'm a little worried about tonight. Derek Lively doubtful for this game. It does look like Maxi Kleber is going to be back for the game.
Here's my only question. Is everybody going to be on the Mavericks? Like everybody. I'm talking about the quote-unquote sharp bettors, the quote-unquote public bettors. I haven't heard one person say, I'm all about the Celtics at minus 225 against the Mavs.
I think it's a great question. I'm very interested to see, because I have heard different things. I have heard that, you know, like we talked yesterday, where we said yesterday, this might be the best price we're going to be able to get on the Mavericks, like right now, to win the NBA Finals, right, when we were looking at these look-ahead lines. And
also, it would be for the T-Wolves, hypothetically, too, by the way, if they were to win 4 in a row.
Oh, totally. Yeah, because that number would only go down. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. That's for sure, right? And I was talking to a couple people last night, and, man, they thought this would close Celtics minus 250 against the Mavericks. They're going to take Mavericks to take money, sharp money. And I'm interested to talk to Drew next to hear what he has to say, but
yeah.
I like Mavs.
Drew will have his quote-unquote fair price.
Yes, that's right.
On the other side, Drew Dinsick joins us in Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Numbers Game presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. Check everything out at Zyn.com. For a limited time only, we're slashing the price, by the way, of our annual subscription, normally $240. You can now secure your subscription for just $199. Signers today will throw in an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of Visa Pro Access for less than 50 cents a day. When you use promo code ANG, let me do the math on that. Boop, 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 boop. It's less than 15 bucks a month. Think about all the streaming services you're paying exponentially more for. This will actually make you money. Hurry, though. Special offer only available until Friday, May 31st. With VSiN Pro, you'll get immediate access to our daily best bets, complete with leaderboards showcasing the hottest VSiN experts, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Remember, though, the offer expires this Friday, May 31st, so visit VSiN.com/subscribe now to grab your 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game where we have the securest subscriptions around.
That's VSIN.com/subscribe. That's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Gil Alexander. This gentleman comes to us as the co-host of not one, but two podcasts, The Deep Dive, which he does with his co-host Andy Molitor, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with the Australian-accented Jay Croucher. I believe it's an authentic accent. Whale_Capper on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody. How you doing, Drewski?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you guys this morning. Hope you had a good holiday weekend and fired up for the French Open to really get going here. There's been, it's been a little bit of a slow start, some of the weather and, you know, just waiting for some of the more high leverage matches here. But this is a great time of year to be a sports fan. No question.
It is. It absolutely is. And I threw in my plays right at the top of the show because we don't know when these are going to start. So I just wanted to get them in before they actually did, because they had the opportunity. They were supposed to start earlier. You have any still pending today?
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm against GoFan. I can't even really pronounce this fellow's name, but he was, I believe, either the Lyon champion or the Lyon runner-up. Mteshi Pericard. We'll go with the GMP, French young French player. I'm into him at minus 122 over GoFan. I think that's drifted a bit, but still much higher quality tennis out of GMP than we're seeing from GoFan right now. And then I have A dog in play. I think it just started. I took Vacherot over Alexander Davidovich Fokina.
Oh, wow.
I have Vacherot both plus six and some plus 350 in that one. So not a believer that Davidovich Fokina is just going to stumble into form in this match.
You too with a large dog this morning. Yeah. So let's repeat those. Giovanni Impecci Pericard.
That sounds perfect.
GMP is the play, about minus 150-ish over David Goffin.
That's perfect.
And then you are also on Vacherot, both on the game line and on the money line, going against Alejandro Davidovich, I believe it's pronounced, Fokina. Okay, two on the men's side. And nothing, I guess the big headline so far, and we'll get to the NBA momentarily, but I guess the big headline is Maria Sakkari yesterday, who has spectacular clay numbers, but has now been bounced. And she was yesterday by Varvara Gracheva. She was bounced in the first round at Roland Garros. She's now lost in the first round in four of her last five slams. There's no other way to say this, man. It has to be mental, right?
I mean, I would guess yes. And she's been candid about that. She was actually, that was one of the kind of points, key plot points of her arc in the
Breaking Point.
Break Point show. You watch that particular match, that should have been straight sets Sakkari. The set two, she had eight break chances, converted one. Gracheva had two break chances, converted two. So over the balance of the entire match, it was extremely lopsided in execution on the on the super high leverage points. 4 of 15 converted for Sakkari, 5 of 6 converted for Gracheva. So that kind of tells the story of that match. And I thought, I guess maybe even more. That was probably like the key takeaway, which is when I do go to the French Open, I'm definitely going out to court Simone Mathieu for the sunset matches where you get the just perfect light. And that was a pretty one.
You know who said he might go, Kelly? Matt Brown. Matt Brown is going to like Ireland or something, and he said he's since he's in the neighborhood, he might just roll over to Paris and watch some French
Open.
Yeah,
he's there now.
Oh,
yeah,
is he really?
Yeah.
He's this dude.
Scotland, I believe.
Fancy pants.
He's going to play golf in Scotland.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm in the neighborhood. I'll go over to Philippe Chatrier.
Right across the street.
Just wanted to say it. And then the Rafa Nadal thing yesterday, which may or may not have been his last match ever at the French Open, obviously winner of 14 French Opens. He says he does want to get back on that court for the Olympics. That is totally motivating him. Whether he plays at the French next year will be, a decision made at a future date. But that was, you seized on, I think, the point that sort of got my hair standing up on my arms was in the stands, right? Djokovic, Alcaraz, Swiatek. Like, that was unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I think that really told the story. Speaking of a hot ticket, that was it. Night court under the roof. If the roof had been open, would Nadal have lost in straights? Probably not. But so it is. That was incredible to see all of the current class of the greatest playing tennis all electing to make sure that rather than prep for a championship run, we need to be here for this part of history. It felt like that. And, Nadal was pretty tight early on. I don't think you necessarily saw his best until, the start of the second set. But I will be completely frank and tell you that he had more tools in his arsenal than I expected coming into this one. Really just didn't think that there was much of a chance he was going to be able to produce consistent winning tennis over the balance. But what he showed, I thought, was pretty darn impressive. And his comments after the match, I thought, were pretty, they were moving also. He's been pretty candid. He's not sure if he's retiring. He thought he felt better in the last 2 months than, the 2 months prior. And that in 2 months, when they do play on Philippe Chatrier in the Olympics, you would expect to see him either in singles or doubles. There's been a lot of rumbling that he and Alcaraz have some sort of deal to do doubles in the Spanish side of things, which would be like wildly cool to see.
Awesome.
So, a lot of hope that we're going to still get a couple of very memorable moments to kind of remember the King of Clay by. And I think, everybody being there and expressing the same sort of sentiment, both you know, publicly and, you know, on the broadcast, I think is, it's all fair. Like, this is important because he's, you know, he is so clearly the best player we've ever seen play on clay. And when it's over, it's going to be, you know, just memories that you have of what he's able to produce in that setting. And I think, you know, the best I could describe it is like, yes, you can argue about who the greatest tennis player of all time is, and it's more of an all-surface argument than it is a dominance. But I do not think you can argue that the best, the single best player in any given condition on any given day was certainly Rafa Nadal on clay. Like, his peak was, like, that was much higher than any other, you know, Djokovic on center court at the Australian Open or Federer at his peak in Wimbledon, right? Like, Nadal on clay, particularly on Philippe Chatrier, was the highest rated player of all time. That's pretty cool.
You even went through it on the Beating the Book podcast by actually giving the preflop betting lines that he got as high as $4. Like, books were just like, we don't want you betting him. And that was unprecedented. What you just said is 100% true, obviously. I'll take it one step further. If we'll wrap up here with 90 seconds of sports talk radio. Kelly, John Goulet, and I were watching Nadal yesterday give his speech after the match. And I said to them, and I don't know if they rolled their eyes at me or not, but what I said was, in our lifetime, taking what you just said a step further, I said, in our lifetime, I'm not sure there has been anything as dominant in sports. Pick your dynasty in basketball. Pick your dynasty in football. Pick your dynasty in whatever. But Rafa Nadal on clay, and particularly on that court, is the single most reliable thing in all of sports, at least our lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of any other example that you could even hold up. Where it's like, hey, your life depends on an athlete you know, winning something in some condition. You pick Nadal on clay in you know, at any time between 2008 and 2019, which is just an unbelievable like length that he was so dominant as well. And it was pretty special to see. And I thought, again, kind of going back to our conversation from the Megapod, like the fact that it was against Zverev. It was, you know, the fact that it was against somebody who could ultimately go on and win this tournament, I thought was a lot more kind of satisfying than to see him kind of get beaten by a player who really just didn't have much of a chance of winning the title. And it was cool to see Zverev's level as high as it was in that match as well. Like, he was very aggressive and really played maybe his best tennis that I've seen him play at a slam, if we're being honest. And I think he could carry that to some success here, but it was amazingly cool to see it, and very thankful to have been around for this, because we're not going to get it again in our lifetime.
No, you were totally right about the fact that that was good that it was a strong opponent like that, as opposed to, I believe the name you gave on the pod was, as opposed to losing to, I don't know, Max Purcell. No, I think you're absolutely right.
I feel bad
that.
For burying Max Purcell. Nothing against Max Purcell. Yeah. He is out.
NBA on the other side with Drew next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. For a limited time only, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally, it's $240. Normally. That's on a normal day. This isn't normal. You can now secure your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll throw in an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of Beeson Pro Access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. But you gotta hurry. It ends Friday. That's when the special offer expires. Expired. May 31st, this Friday. With Beeson Pro, you'll get immediate access to only daily best bets, to our daily best bets, I should say, complete with a leaderboard showcasing the hottest Beeson experts, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video content. Remember, the offer expires Friday, this Friday, May 31st. So visit Beeson.com/subscribe now to grab your 14 months of Beeson Pro for just $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game.
That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Time to update the Guardians. It is May 28th. Bum, bum, bum. Yesterday, not a good day, because the Cleveland Guardians' 9-game winning streak, 12 out of their last 13, the 9-game winning streak got snapped. They lose at Coors. They had themselves a 3-0 lead and a 4-1 lead. But here's the thing about this monthly bet. And by the way, shout out to Eric Biggio at William Hill Caesars, who like tweeted me the new June.
Trolling you,
He's totally trolling me. He's like, I don't know, Gil, want to look at June?
He's helping me out as a producer.
That's right. He's like, we need the content.
Again, as your friend and a better, I would tell nobody to force anything. As a show producer, though, this has been fun in the past 2 months.
You enjoy seeing me come to the cusp of victory only to get destroyed at the end. So the Guardians lose 8-6 to the Rockies. And this is the trippy part about these monthly bets. Stephen Vogt, the manager of the tribe, he does not know that there's anything on the line, right? They're not playing for the pennant. They're not playing for the division. They're not playing for anything. It's like the end of a month, and only the bettors who have this bet knows this. So he left in Xavion Curry probably a couple batters too long yesterday. I'm like, take him out. Take him out. Didn't take him out. So they lost their lead, and they lose 8-6. Now, here's the other thing that happened, though. The other two teams that are involved, by the way, there's only four teams that are involved in this now. 26 have been eliminated from having the most wins in the month of May. It's only the Phillies, Yankees, Guardians, and Royals. Well, not only do the Guardians lose, but so did the Royals, despite a furious comeback in the ninth. They lose to the Twins. And then the Phillies got doubled up by the magic that is the San Francisco Giants, 8-4. So I said yesterday on the show, even though the Yankees were in second place in the standings, that they're the real betting favorite at this point to win May. They're the big favorite now, in my opinion. The Phillies and the Yankees are both 18-6. But now the Yankees have 4 games left, while the Phillies just have 3 games left. So the Yankees, by the way, they got 3 at Anaheim to play the Angels before they go to San Francisco to have to contend with the magic that is the Giants. But you got 3 at Anaheim, and so not only do you have the extra game, but you got the easy opponent. And so the Yankees are the betting favorite right now. Both the Phillies and Yankees at 18-6. The Guardians are 17-8. The Royals are 16-8. They're the only other two teams that are in this. So we're still alive with the Guardians. But here's what has to happen. Because we could be eliminated tonight, or we could be on life support after tonight. Here's essentially what would have to happen. The Guardians would have to win their last 3. Just one scenario, right? Win their last 3. 2 against the Rockies, 1 against the Nationals. The Phillies would have to go 1-2. Okay, that's possible, because they do have to play the Giants. And the Royals would have to go 3-1. Okay, that's possible. All possible at this point. Except here's the problem. The Yankees would have to go 1-3. And that is where the rub is. Because the Yankees would have to go 1-3, 3 against the Angels, 1 against the Giants. That's asking a lot.
Yeah.
It's asking a lot. We'll see. We've gotten this far, though. Good luck to all of us.
The only upside, I guess, for people that did bet at a dead heat shops, there's way less teams involved.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's for those of us who bet at Circa, where there are tiebreakers of fewest losses and run differential. But for those who are at the dead heat shop, that is William Hill Caesars, and you have a Guardians bet, you could still dead heat this. You don't need to have those things happen, right? You just have to get to the same amount of wins as the Phillies and Yankees. That is more possible.
And wasn't in April, where at this point, wasn't there still like 6 teams or something
it was much more of a scrum.
So like dead heat, you were going to get crushed.
April 30th, there was like 6 or 7 teams still in. Yeah. Okay. That's where we stand. Good luck to all of us. Paul Spohr joins us from Austin, Texas. He's at FanGraphs, host of the Sleeper and the Bust podcast. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Spohrer. Oh, he switched his hat to a Guardian's hat. I saw what you did, Paulie. Thank you, sir.
I got your back. What's going on, Gil?
He was wearing a Marlins hat. Now, all of a sudden, it's the tribe. Thank you so much. Okay. Let's start with DFS. We usually close with DFS, but there is a game at Coors. That is the Guardians game. What would you play today at DFS?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm always going to be looking at the Coors. Now, I will say, at least anecdotally, I don't have all the data on it. I don't feel like Coors is yielding a ton of numbers.
That's correct. Yeah.
It's partly because they suck so bad. So that, you know, the Rockies themselves aren't really delivering numbers, but I feel like in a weird way, some of their pitchers have stepped up there too and limited the opponents. That said, I'm still going to look at some guards, but there's a lot of good pitchers going out there today. You know, you got Wheeler, Peralta, Reagans, 3 bona fide aces. I'm inclined to lean one of them, Luis Castillo, Max Fried, 2 more aces up there. They're even a bit cheaper. If you're looking at the DraftKings board, I might go one of them to kind of save a little bit, especially Fried. Fried's the cheapest of that group. So I'm definitely going to look at him. And then as far as teams to go, if you tried to fade the Colorado game, because the runs there haven't been massive, probably going to go with a bunch of Phillies against the Giants, even though it's in San Francisco. They're hitting everywhere always. And Blue Jays against Mike Clevinger.
The Ronald Acuna injury, We're talking a little bit about this yesterday on the show from a betting perspective. You know, I asked Mark Borchardt, okay, does this mean, you know, Philly's minus 150 to win the division? He actually went the other way. He's like, the market has overreacted even with the movement that it has made, which wasn't like massive movement, but still was an overreaction in his estimation. He actually thinks, bet on Braves now that you're getting more favorable prices. Do you see it that way generally?
I do like that. I think an overreaction doesn't surprise me at all. That's exactly what I would expect to happen. We as a betting community, fantasy community, baseball community, whatever you want, constantly overrate the impact of one player. Now, he is a god. I'm not here, you know, negating any impact of Acuña. He's amazing. But didn't they win the World Series without him? That was without him, yes? Am I wrong that he was not part of that? That's when they brought in Soler and everything. I remember a huge run that the Reds made. This is a while ago because they were in contention, that they made without Joey Votto, right? Like, one player in baseball, it's just not like it is in other sports. So I'm not surprised that, you know, the odds are going to change a bunch. Everyone's going to say fade the Braves. I'm actually kind of open to leaning into it because they're not going to fold. They're not just going to pack it in and say, well, we lost Acuña, we're out. No, Alex Anthopoulos is going to go pull a rabbit out of his hat somewhere, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of an outfielder he could even get. I almost said Brian Reynolds, but the Pirates are still kind of like in fringe contention now. They have like two aces, and they signed him, so they're inclined to keep him. But that was the default guy to say a team was going to trade for a while until they locked him in. But they're not going to cower. The Braves are going to put their foot to the pedal. You know, so I'm really going to stay. I would go further in on the Braves right now as opposed to fading them.
Yeah, the interesting thing is with some of these markets, they're 15-1 to miss the playoffs. So they're still a massive favorite to make the playoffs. Do you think 15-1 represents some value, though?
To miss the how are they going to miss the playoffs, Gil?
Well, because here's why. Because he's the way you asked.
Get
that.
Get a ball.
Shit, the way you asked. I'm so mean.
I loved it.
I think because I'll put it this way. You still got three wild cards, right? And can you find three wild cards? Well, the answer to that would be I can't in the East, but I could find one in the Central, right? Either the Brewers or Cubs, whoever doesn't make it there. And could you find two in the West to have better records than the Braves? Two of the Padres, Diamondbacks, Giants trio.
No. A Giants.
Well, here's the thing. You're absolutely still a dog, right? But 15-1 as a no? Like that, I mean, that price is kind of nice, is what I'm saying. If it was 5-1, I wouldn't ask.
Sure, it's not a bad price. Like you know, you're always thinking these angles, and I love that about you. I just don't see. So like there's sometimes where I get the principle, and that alone kind of gets me hyped. And I'll make like a half unit, quarter unit type bet because I'm like, yes, the theory works here.
Yeah.
But in practice, I got to be honest with you, Gil, and the listeners. I don't see it at all.
Okay.
So like, I
get
what you're mapping out, but I wouldn't put any serious cheddar on it at all.
All right. Personally. Would you take them to win the division at a plus price? Phillies are minus 150.
Yes. I forget who you referenced earlier. Pardon me to that gentleman saying to go in on the Braves, but I want to co-sign what he's saying because I totally agree. Everyone's going to pivot away from them, understandably, because they see, oh, big name is out. I'm going in. I trust Alex Anthopoulos. I trust the foundation that they have around him. Again, they won the 2019 series without him. He only played half the season. Losing Acuña sucks. He's a god. The Braves, I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they're
plus,
more or less good. Fine.
Plus 120 to win the division. By the way, real quick, on the way out, who wins the AL West when all is said and done?
Texas.
Texas does. Okay. The defending world champions.
Plus 380.
Plus 380. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Take care.
We'll come back. We'll wrap things up with the NBA tonight. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Kelly Kiki Mladenovic did not get there. She loses 6-4, 6-4 as a $4 dog.
Come on, Kiki. Cost me a whole $20 this morning.
Oh, that's what you bet on? 20? Yeah, that's how much confidence you had in my bet? 20 bucks?
Well, I got in late. I got in when she was down a game already, so I had like plus 520. I was like, I'm going to go a little lighter on this.
We get tweets. We get a bunch of tweets. This is from Kevin Ryan. I am 66 and had the pleasure of watching Bill Walton play and listening to him announce for the Pac-12. I ran across him at the Phoenix airport, and he talked to me for 10 minutes.
These are always these are all the stories I keep hearing. It's incredible.
Icon has passed. Only I didn't have an encounter with Bill Walton. I attended the Who concert here in Vegas because I was on a concert binge where I was like, I'm gonna watch concerts of genres I'm not into. And there was Bill Walton two rows in front of me on the aisle. Standing.
That's awesome.
You're the person behind him. I think the person behind him was just so thrilled to be behind Bill Walton that they didn't complain about it. This is from Sea Oaks. The final round of the World Series is basically a combination of the region, super region formats. Eight teams split into two regions, double elimination, winners of each playing a two out of three series for the title.
Duh.
Oh, that's simple. Oh, and Grissom jumped in. He goes, what I should have done to simplify the college baseball postseason could be summed up in one rule. Don't lose twice in one weekend and you're good. That's the way
to say it. There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Just don't lose twice in one weekend. Oh. Thank you, Matt Grissom. And then Logic 3227, how could you forget the biggest story of the day? Angel Hernandez retired. This day should be a national holiday. Yeah, Angel Hernandez, quote unquote, retired. I think there was probably...
What is that?
I think there was... Well, he retired.
Like he was pushed out?
But I think there was a deal.
Okay.
That's my guess. Like maybe baseball finally realized, maybe we shouldn't have this perception
right.
of
us. Right, yeah, yeah. Like you're kind of hurting the game. Maybe time to take that golden watch.
And well, looky here.
People still get gold watches when they retire? Does that happen anywhere?
You let me know when it happens. Well, Kelly Bidlin. Kendrick Perkins says that he's embarrassed he used his Defensive Player of the Year vote on Rudy Gobert and calls it the biggest regret of his media career. Quote, when does the suit end? No, I'm kidding. Quote, he has tarnished the Defensive Player of the Year award. He has. He's not respected by his peers. We saw what happened to him in the Denver series. He couldn't even guard the person at his position. Unquote. Well, thanks for nothing, Kendrick Perkins, because some of us bet on this stuff. But I do appreciate the public mea culpa.
Yeah. No,
even though
too.
It cost us money.
Me too.
But this is what I said yesterday on the show, right?
I don't think you're hearing that from the Domantas Sabonis guy on anything.
That Domantas Sabonis guy is not apologizing for anything.
This is where I feel like I'm always defending Rudy because I shouldn't be at all. But, like, the thing with this series is he's, like, the fourth biggest problem on this team. Like, Karl Anthony Towns, oh, my gosh, after this resurgence of a year, has just disappeared in the biggest moment when he was arguably the biggest star of the Denver Nuggets series.
You know what he's shooting from three in this series? 13%.
Yeah. What was the one I heard the Establish the Runs guys drop this morning? He has a higher usage rate than his field goal percentage in this series, which is just like something you don't hear. You never hear.
One more thing. Steve Fezzik is angry. He's very angry. He's about to blow. Steve Fezzik, who can be heard on Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson regularly, weekly.
Yeah, every Monday, I believe. Yeah.
Every Monday here on the network. Steve is the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. Stevie comes on this show, and famously, I challenge him on some of his... how can I put this? Behavioral things.
Mm.
Most recently, I said to him, I go, Stevie, does it mean more to you to make money or to call other people dumbos? And he said, dumbos. So this is, with that as a backdrop, let me just say this. Stevie texted in. He goes, I strongly disagree with your baseball experts. He says, the markets are going nuts on the Phillies with good reason. I bet my blanks off. Minus 150 and minus 175 to win the division. Phillies will be minus 300 by mid-June. No Strider, no Acuna. So there's his point. He's thinking it's going to move further, so he's grabbing the best of it.
That was my one question on that.
He says, instead of winning 102 games, Atlanta's only going to win 92, and Philly's going to win over 100. Your guys are on crack, he said. There it comes with the name-calling and the characterizations. He can't help himself. He says, bookmakers asleep at the wheel, allowing me to bet these at less than minus 200. Allowing him, Stevie, to bet it at less than minus 200. He said, to use your phrase, these guys are too close to the sun. And he disagrees with them strongly. Well, Stevie has an opinion on it. And by the way, I understand Stevie's point.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you lean that way a little bit too, right?
Yeah, the reason I keep bringing it up is because 15-1 for them to miss the playoffs is a good price to me.
I was wondering about, you know, like I brought up the Phillies a couple times even before the Acuña injury. So that was the one I gravitated more towards was Phillies in the division.
Listen, I was saying during March, April when we had the Guardians, but I was like, you watch these games every night, the Braves appear to be the best team in baseball. Like, I'm convinced the Braves are the best team in baseball. But that assumes, that they're at full strength and that everybody's playing well. Now, Acuña, even before the injury, something was wrong with him. And that became more apparent. I did keep saying, I was like, Ozuna's the best player on this team right now. But baseball's a funny sport. And just because it's there on paper doesn't mean that it's all going to work. And they don't have Strider, and they don't have Acuña, and that's their best pitcher, and that's their best hitter.
I do think it's interesting between what Steve said and what Paul said, how many games in baseball is a player like that worth?
Well, so Steve says it's got to be worth. Steve says it's got to be worth at least 4 wins. He says.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there are ways to quantify this, right? It's called WAR.
Right.
But problem with WAR is it's not a stat I like. It's not uniform. FanGraphs has a WAR. Baseball Prospectus has a WAR. The two do not meet.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of subjectivity to it. But yes, they are. Every player is worth certain amount of wins. Sometimes it's negligible, other times it's not so negligible. So that's Stevie's point, and so that's why he's betting it, because he's taking the best of it, because he thinks it will only go in that direction here in the short term. So there you go. So that's one man's opinion versus another. That's why we talk about these things. All right, finally, game four. Let's go back to where we started as we close out here. Game four of the Western Conference Finals. Mavericks leading the Timberwolves 3-0 in their best of 7 Western Conference Finals. In a series where T-Wolves should have themselves a win or two or maybe even 3 along the way, but they don't. And so the Mavericks on the cusp, again, 155-0 for teams up 3-0 to close things out. Only 4 times has a team even forced a game 7 when down 3-0. That's what the Timberwolves are up against. Mavericks are either a 1.5 or 2-point favorite here. Kelly, the total's at 210.5. You've got Mavericks futures.
Yep.
If you did not, how would you play this?
Yeah, I don't. Side is very tough in this game. We've been saying this throughout this series. I think Minnesota's extremely live, just like they've been every single game. I think kind of like we saw last night. I don't expect this team to completely give up. Side-wise, there would be no bet for me. There is no bet for me. There would be no bet for me, even if I didn't have Mavericks tickets going. Total, I've kind of leaned over all along, too. I know that was Drew's thought at the beginning of the series, too, yep. with a game one total. I kind of agree with him. Every game it's kind of been looked more to an overlook than under. I did bet one player prop tonight. I bet Naz Reid over his points, 12.5. This is another one. I heard established the run guys talking about it. I completely agree. You got to figure out something with Cat in this game quick. And I think that means you're probably going to see a lot of offensive play calls, action run for him in the first quarter. And either he's got it or you got to put him on the bench. And you got Naz Reid is one of the only guys who's effectively scoring for this team. And yes, he hurts you on the defensive side of the ball. But man, you've got Carl Anthony Towns out there who's hurting you on both sides right now. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with the bigs tonight, too. Bigs tonight overall, Gil, because whether it's Gobert or Cat, I think there's times where you could easily have made a case over the past couple games. Man, you got to get them off the court, get Naz Reid, or even Kyle Anderson or any of these guys back on there who are just frankly playing better right now. So I like Naz Reid over his points. I played over 12.5. I think I saw his 15-plus at like plus 150. I think if you're playing over on Naz, you got to sprinkle the alts too, because if you're thinking like I'm thinking, he's going to be a much bigger part of the offense tonight. So played that one. That's really the only thing I'm looking at, though. Here tonight, I think it's going to be really that Carl Anthony Towns story, man. It's fascinating, because can you, with this team moving forward, can you throw a guy? Can you bench a guy in this type of moment? You know, in a playoff series of that star power.
Some people say you sit Gobert too. Like there's all kinds of things.
This is what I'm saying, but you could completely screw up the future trajectory of this franchise, right?
That Kendrick Perkins mea culpa. I know we're doing a show and I'm laughing about it, but it's kind of left a mark on me. I'm like, yep, I talked about this yesterday. We've talked about it for months now. no one's an it. Everyone's voting for Wembanyama last year, and all the reasons for not voting him are going to be out the window. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.